The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Christmas is from Exodus chapter 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn. Whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." Then Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and shall give it to you, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, 'What does this mean?' you shall say to him, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first open the womb. But all the firstborn of my sons I redeem.'" This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from Luke. One of my favorite characters around the Christmas story has to be Simeon. We meet him when Mary and Joseph come into the temple to redeem the child Jesus. As we read in the Old Testament lesson, the firstborn, the one who broke the womb, belonged to the Lord and had to be redeemed by a sacrifice. Simeon felt a nudge in his heart to go to the temple. Doesn't appear he was told why, but he was just told to go. Have you ever had a divine prompting like that? Ever have that thought pop into your mind about somebody you haven't thought about in a long period of time and thought, I just have to call them? Perhaps it's a nudging from the Lord. It's not the first time that Simeon had God had spoken to Simeon. When he was younger, he was told, you'll see the Messiah before you die. Our story takes place 40 days after Jesus was born. As I said, Mary and Joseph came to redeem their firstborn son. They wouldn't have been the only couple there. There had to have been an awful lot of people there. We don't know a lot about Simeon. We don't know his background. We don't know his occupation. We don't even know if he was an old man. If you see paintings of this scene from the Bible, Simeon's always pictured as a very old man. But the Bible doesn't say how old he was or how long he'd been waiting for the Messiah. We're simply not told. Whatever the time frame was from when he was told he would see the Messiah before he died and when he actually saw the child Jesus, Simeon waited in eager expectations. He probably lived in Jerusalem and said he was a righteous man and was in the temple often. The Holy Spirit had told him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. I wonder when Simeon went to the temple day in and day out, if he thought, how would he know who was the Messiah? What or who should he be looking for? Would he look like David? We don't know. He didn't know the answers, but he held on to the promise. He must have looked at some young couples bringing in their baby sons and wondering, is that the one? As I said, in the paintings of this scene, Simeon's often portrayed as an old man, 75 or 80 years young. As I'm getting closer to those years, I'm looking at that as being young. But that's beside the point. Paintings always have him with a long white beard, stooped shoulders, wrinkled face. But the fact is, he knew it couldn't be long until he saw the Messiah. Mary and Joseph came into the temple, and there was nothing special about them. Joseph was just a poor carpenter from Nazareth, and Mary was a peasant girl with a baby boy. And we know they were poor because they brought in the cheap man's sacrifice. The Bible required one animal if you could afford it, but if you couldn't, they had, quote, a cheaper sacrifice. And I can see Simeon being in the temple waiting and watching, waiting for the Spirit to point out Jesus. It finally happens. Mary and Joseph are in the temple with the baby Jesus, and Simeon is prompted, this is the one. He takes the child into his arms, and he sings a song that goes down through the centuries that we still use in our liturgy in one form or another, where he says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon calls the child the glory of Israel, the fulfillment of all of Israel's dreams of a Messiah had finally come. The idea of the glory of Israel takes us back to the promise God had made to Abraham back in Genesis, where the Lord says, I will make your name great and make of you a great nation, and through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We see that when he talks about that the baby Jesus would be a light of revelation for the Gentiles. In other words, the Messiah didn't come just for the Jews. He came for the Gentiles, for which we ought to be thankful for, because unless you had Jewish parents, you're a Gentile. So I'm glad he came for the Gentiles as well. He came for all people, regardless of nation, tribe, or language. And it says in the gospel lesson, Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said. Then Simeon directly addresses Mary. This child is destined to cause a falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I'll get into that, what that means, in a couple of minutes. But when we are baptized as children or perhaps as adults, it makes us so-called eligible for prompting for the Lord. We don't oftentimes hear an angel speak directly to us, but whenever they do in the Bible, they always begin with the words, fear not. And I know I've ranted about this before, but that makes it clear that the angel isn't some cute little baby with wings. Because if that appeared to me, I would pat it on the head, pinch its cheeks, and say, how cute. No, angels are big, ferocious, and scary. That's why when they appear in the Bible, it's always with the words, fear not. But maybe you've had a prompting in your heart to pray that God wants something to happen in another person's life. Since the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has made Jesus' voice heard. The Holy Spirit urged Simeon to go to the temple that day. The same voice told him which one of the couples was carrying the boy that was the one he sought after. When you hear the Holy Spirit give directions, you're hearing the voice of Jesus himself. But Paul warns us to be discerning about promptings that we get. John 16:16, Jesus says, in a little while you will see me no more, then after a little while, you will see me. Which was, don't cling to the physical presence of Jesus, but the fact that the Holy Spirit would come. Today, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through Scripture. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Bible is Jesus' words in written form. Reading the Scripture can bring about a peace in your soul. One way or the other, you hear the voice of Jesus. Going back to Simeon when he entered the temple that day, again, I'm thinking of the famous paintings of the scene. They always pictured Mary and Joseph with a halo on their head or a plate behind their head. I know it's supposed to be a halo tip, but to me it looks like a plate. It's circular behind their head. After thinking about John the Baptist, plate on a head just has a whole different meaning. But that's the art critic in me. But there was no halo on Jesus' head, but yet the Holy Spirit pointed Simeon to the baby Jesus. It's not the only time the Holy Spirit pointed somebody in a direction. If you jump ahead to the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit prompted Philip to walk down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. Yeah, the same Gaza we hear about in the news today. He wasn't told why he should go. He should just go. And he was told to stand by the chariot where the Ethiopian servant was. And as it goes, Philip explained the scriptures to him, and the man was baptized, all as a result of the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Now back to Simeon's prophecy about Mary, that a sword would pierce her own heart. Mary, as we know, witnessed the crucifixion. We have the cradle that we just celebrated on Wednesday on Christmas Day, but we cannot separate the cradle from the cross. Even though he's cute, a cute little baby on Christmas Day, he was born to die. The cradle of Christmas cannot be separated from the cross of Good Friday. We were rescued by the cross, but the journey began in Bethlehem. Jesus carried all of our sins to the cross, and he stripped Satan of the power to accuse, because Satan loves to accuse by saying, "Don't you remember when you did?" Or, "How can you call yourself a Christian when you did?" That's how he likes to accuse. But the power of the cross is that it strips Satan of his power. Jesus shattered the power of death when he rose from the grave. So I can wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Be prepared to listen for the voice of Jesus, not as an audible voice, but perhaps as an inclination or an instinct. It could be, in a sense, a burning bush for you. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.